Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. If you missed any past episodes of Live by Every Word or any of the programming here on KPCG, you can find those archived. The podcasts are at kpcg.fm or at thetrumpet.com or any place you'd like to get your podcasts. Well, if you look at Leviticus 23, it outlines holy days that God commanded ancient Israel to observe. And of course, those commands are for our day as well. These are holy days that God intended that they would be kept always, not just in ancient Israel, but that they would continue to be kept, and God's church keeps those holy days today. And there's a lot more about that in our free booklet, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which that's at thetrumpet.com, and it gives you a really good overview of those holy day commands. But there's a lot of symbolism and meaning in those holy days, and that's why it's so important that we keep them, because it keeps us in remembrance of God's plan of salvation for mankind. The pivotal holy day in God's plan is the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets, and that pictures quite a bit, including the return of Jesus Christ and the change of world government from Satan's rule to the rule of God, Jesus Christ ruling on this earth with the government of God. So the Feast of Trumpets is so vital every single year to be reminded of what is coming and Christ's return. And there were trumpets blown, of course, anciently on the Feast of Trumpets, and the trumpets have a meaning to them. And we need to look at what the meaning of these trumpet blasts are. Now, both silver trumpets and a shofar were blown on the Feast of Trumpets. And you can look more to the meaning of the silver trumpets. They had different meanings for ancient Israel when they were blown. And, of course, sometimes it was a joyous occasion, and Christ's return is a joyous occasion. But also on the Feast of Trumpets, there was a shofar that was blown. Now, a shofar is different. It can only make one note, and it's a ram's horn. When blown into, that one note is produced, and it is a blast that signifies war. When ancient Israel heard the blast of the shofar, there was no doubt that there were serious battles about to begin. It was a warning to them. And so let's look more at the meaning of this shofar blast and part of the meaning of the day of the Feast of Trumpets. Let's start in Jeremiah 4, verses 19 through 21. And we'll look at a few passages, so if you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out, and we can look at these. Jeremiah 4, verses 19 through 21. Here, Jeremiah the prophet is seeing a vision of war that's coming upon this earth right before Christ's return. And of course, Christ talked about that as well in Matthew 24. But notice what Jeremiah saw here in Jeremiah 4, verses 19 through 21. He said, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, and the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? So this shofar blast that Jeremiah was seeing and hearing, and all the events surrounding it, I mean, it really shocked him and it sickened him. I think it's interesting there in verse 19 where he says, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. You know, he was very physically affected by what he saw. And if you read the history of different wars, World War II being one example, I'm sure this was quite common, but one situation I read of where there was a city that was being bombed in World War II, and people were running in terror and panic because of the destruction. And one of the things that was recorded was the fact that people lost control of their bodily functions. they lost control of their bowels because of the shock and the terror and the fear, and the body just sort of didn't know what to do, I guess, or went to some sort of panic mode. And so here you see that Jeremiah was having this vision, and he was having a similar sort of reaction to it because of how terrifying this was, this war that's coming. So that does happen, and historically there's plenty of records of that, where when there's this panic and this fear, people's bodies react in a strange way, a way that, you know, wouldn't be normal. But again, that's part of the meaning here. When we look at the Feast of Trumpets, there is an alarm of war, this shofar blast. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is free at thetrumpet.com. If you don't have that, please sign up for it. It says, its sound, talking about this shofar blast, filled those who heard it with fear, because they knew it signified that the horror of war was imminent. It is this warning of an imminent crisis that sets apart the Feast of Trumpets from God's other holy days. So there's a lot of joy in the Feast of Trumpets, of course, because of Christ's return. That's part of it. But there's also this alarm of war. There's this alarm of war. And again, if you remember what Christ talked about in Matthew 24, he laid out what would happen right before his return. And if he did not return and put an end to the warfare, there would be no flesh saved alive. And so Christ prophesied the same thing. And it's going to be the worst suffering humanity has ever experienced. Terrible war. Terrible war. And so in ancient Israel, the shofar was blown to warn people of war. But the Feast of Trumpets warns of this war to come, right before the return of Jesus Christ, when he puts an end to man's warfare. The Feast of Trumpets has a warning message in it. And so if people don't keep the Feast of Trumpets, they begin to forget, if they ever knew, about the warning of what's coming, and we do need to be warned about that. God makes sure that there's a warning that goes out. Notice this in Ezekiel 33, verses 2 through 6. Ezekiel 33, verses 2 through 6, it says, "Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and takes not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, he took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that takes warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." So there's a specific job that God does give to watchmen over time, historically. And this is an interesting watchman. And you can study more about this history when you read about World War II and Winston Churchill. He did warn the people. He was a man that was taken by the people there and set up. He was elected into office, although sort of reluctantly, I guess. And he did warn Britain for a long time and the West, and people jeered and laughed and mocked and talked him down and said he didn't know what he was talking about. He warned about the Nazis and Hitler, and the people didn't respond to it until the very end, right at the last, and then they did set him. They did set him. As it says in verse 2, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and they set him for their watchman. And, of course, he was used powerfully there in World War II. And ultimately, the Nazis were defeated, and I know you know that history quite well. But, again, there's this watchman that was set up, and he did warn. He did warn, and the people, again, voted him in there right at the last, right before they were about to be destroyed in World War II. So there was a historical fulfillment here. And but again, many people just ignored Winston Churchill's warning. They didn't think too much of it. They laughed at him, called him a warmonger, and so forth. But he was telling them the truth, that there was war coming. And so he did his job. He did warn them. But oftentimes, mankind does not respond to those warnings until it's sometimes too late or just about too late. So we don't want to be in that category. We want to be hearing the warning message that God has and responding to it. Now, there's another watchman that's mentioned as well. If you continue here, Ezekiel 33, verses 7 through 9. And this watchman warns about this great tribulation that's coming in the day of the Lord. And it says, verse 7, "So you, O son of man, I have set you a watchman into the house of Israel." See, this is different. The watchman that we just talked about, the people set him for a watchman, albeit reluctantly and right at the end. But here, this is different. Verse 7 says, "O son of man, I," God talking, "I have set you a watchman into the house of Israel." The people did not vote this in, this leader. This is something that God has said. It says, "Therefore you shall hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me." So this watchman has a job. Verse 8, "When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that the wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul." So in other words, you know, the warning has to go out. And if the watchman does not deliver the warning, well, people are going to die in their sins and their lawlessness. But the watchman would be guilty because he didn't do his job. So the warning from God here to that watchman is, make sure you do warn them. And then if they don't turn from it, well, they'll die. But you've done your job. You've warned them. You've given them a chance to repent and to change. And that's what God gives everybody. He gives them a chance. He gives them warnings. He doesn't want anyone to be able to come back and say, you didn't tell us, you didn't warn us of what was coming. He'll say, "Yes, I did. I did." For years, Herbert Armstrong warned for years. And today, Mr. Gerald Fleury continues that warning message. So God's warning message has been going out for quite some time, and especially and specifically now, over the last 30 years or so, through the Philadelphia Trumpet Magazine and the Key of David program, and, of course, the Trumpet website and other various supporting materials there. But, again, the watchman does have a job, and he has to warn. He has to warn. He has to, you know, blow the shofar blast. Now, today it's not going out and literally blowing on a shofar, but it is getting that warning message out there. There's no mistaking that warning message, that sound. The Correspondence Course says, "In ancient Israel, trumpets were also blown as a prelude to important messages. The Old Testament prophets, such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, symbolically use their voices like trumpets to blare warnings to God's people." God's watchman today is doing the same thing. He's doing the same thing. So you need to understand who God is using, who he's working through, who his watchman is. And there's plenty of material about that at thetrumpet.com. God's watchman, supported by those God calls, must give God's warning message, must give that shofar blast so that people can understand to pay attention. And then it's up to them what they do. I mean, it's not different, I suppose, than, say, hearing a tornado alarm go off. Most communities have some sort of an alarm system. And if a tornado is close, the alarm goes off. Now what people do, it's up to them. You know, some people take cover, some people don't. It's up to them, but they have to be warned. God is warning people today that, look, there are terrible times coming. There's great hope beyond that. Christ's return, that's part of Feast of Trumpets as well. That's part of what the Feast of Trumpets teaches. But there's also this alarm of war, this warning of the time leading right up to the return of Christ. But God's work must be done. Notice Revelation 10 and verse 11. This is what God's people have to be supporting today. Revelation 10 and verse 11, it says, "And he said unto me, you must prophesy again before or concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." There's a warning message that has to go out. And of course, the gospel message continues to go out, but there's a specific focus on the warning. And that gospel message is the good news of the soon coming kingdom and family of God. That's the soon coming kingdom and family of God. That kingdom is the government of God and the family of God combined. So that's coming soon. And that's great news. That's the ultimate great news. But getting there, there are some warnings about what's coming upon this earth. And so this prophesy again message has to go out. The Correspondence Course says the unparalleled terror that is coming on the world requires that God's church today trumpet a warning stronger than ever before. It can't be an uncertain sound, right? It can't be sort of a waffling, well, we're not really sure, you know, what's exactly going to, you know, go on, or, you know, maybe this or maybe that. There are specific prophecies that God does reveal, and they have to be trumpeted. They have to be told to the world. That's what God's watchman has to do. So the Feast of Trumpets pictures this time of great tribulation that's coming. And God isn't silent about it. Thankfully, he doesn't keep it a secret. He tells us exactly what we can expect, what's coming. He commissions his prophet to warn the world of this coming destruction. That's what a loving God does. He warns. If you're a parent, you'd do the same thing, right? You'd warn your children, hey, don't do that. Don't get too close to the fire. You're going to get burned. You would warn them, of course, because you don't want to see them suffer. But then they do have to make sure they listen. That's their responsibility. So mankind's responsibility is to listen to the warning message that God's giving through his watchmen today, and God's people have to be supporting that work. That's the most loving thing that a person could do, is to warn someone of the catastrophe that's coming. And God gives people every chance to repent and change their ways. He gives them a chance. He gives them a chance. Notice why destruction comes upon nations. There's a very specific reason. This is in Jeremiah 4, verses 21 and 22. Again, it says, how long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet, the shofar blast? Verse 22, it says, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Now, sottish is a word we don't use too often, I suppose. It means stupid or foolish from or as from too much drinking. So, intoxicated, going the wrong direction and not thinking clearly and making some poor decisions. Now, spiritually, that's true. Physically, that's true in some cases. There's a lot of addictions in this society. But this is, people are rebelling against God. They're rebelling. Now, like it says, many are wise to do evil. I mean, they're very quick to know how to do things that are evil or make evil inventions or use technology in a wrong way or something like that. We see that all over. But and how to do good? Well, there's no knowledge there. So God has to correct it. He has to correct it. And Jeremiah, he saw in vision this suffering that's coming, that is pictured there by this shofar blast of the Feast of Trumpets. Notice verse 23, it says, and I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. That should ring a bell. You can go back to Genesis and see that the earth was or became without form and void too after Lucifer's rebellion. Well, here after man's final rebellion inspired by Satan, you see that again the earth is without form and void. Warfare this time. Remember, Christ said in Matthew 24, if he didn't return and put an end to it, there'd be no flesh saved alive. What kind of warfare is that? Well, it's the kind of warfare that brings to pass what you read here in Jeremiah 4, verse 23. The earth without form and void, destruction. Absolute destruction. It says in the heavens, and they had no light. Verse 24, I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and the hills moved lightly. Verse 25, I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. And verse 26, I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Eternal, and by his fierce anger. So we see a picture here of tohu and bohu, waste and destruction, just absolute destruction, because of man's rebellion and his fighting and warring. The Correspondence Course says, God does not enjoy bringing war on people or seeing the wicked die. We read that in Ezekiel 33:11. He doesn't enjoy that. However, it says, all of these events are necessary to bring the greatest number of people possible into God's family. it's no different than a loving parent. You know, if a child's just really rebelling and they're not listening and they're having a lot of problems, well, there has to be some form of discipline. And sometimes it has to be, you know, strong enough certainly to get their attention. And always done in love, of course, but still, God has to have some strong discipline here to get people to pay attention to him and to listen to this message. To listen to this message. And there is a warning component to it that, look, if Israel doesn't change its ways, physical Israel, spiritual Israel has some rebellion against God, and ultimately all of mankind, we all need to learn. Everybody needs to learn how to obey God. But if people won't respond to this warning message today, they're going to bring these problems upon themselves. And God's going to see to it that it is very corrective. But I mean, you can look and see the burning and the rioting and the looting in cities and the division among races and ideologies and just constant, you know, rhetoric and bickering that is becoming more and more and more negative. Where does it end? Well, it ends in warfare. It does end in warfare. The Feast of Trumpets shows that even though God warns, many people, they don't listen until they are in the midst of the Great Tribulation. Because Christ has to return and put an end to the warfare. But the good news is, the great news is, finally, people do listen. They do listen to God. They listen to his message. They listen to his watchmen. They finally do. They're finally ready to listen at a certain point. And then they can be taught how to live. And some will die, of course, and be resurrected and then and be taught at that time period. Some will live over into the millennium after Christ returns, and they'll be taught, they'll be ready to be instructed. They'll have seen firsthand what rebellion against God's laws do. And they'll be ready to be taught. They'll be ready finally to hear God's words and rejoice that Christ has returned. And finally, mankind can begin to live the way of peace. The Feast of Trumpets is a pivotal holy day. It's a change between this world being ruled by Satan. He is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. He deceives the whole world, Revelation 12 and verse 9. Prince of the power of the air. You can read all about that, but there's going to be a change coming where he no longer rules and Christ rules. And the Feast of Trumpets pictures that pivotal time. Where would we be without the knowledge of the Feast of Trumpets and what that means? We would be very lost and very confused and very hopeless. But we do need to make sure that we pay attention to that shofar blast, that warning message, and support it with all of our heart. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.